Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think I heard only Pastor Rob. You know what? It's an exciting morning with the news that we got from Pastor Rob. I know we're all aware that we have a new branch now. And today is the first service. That's exciting. I can't wait to be there. So I think when I say praise the Lord, you should shout hallelujah, because we're praising him for what he has done. You know, having a building that we didn't pay anything for, it was screaming. Amen. So praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Our God is faithful. You know, in his word, he said that we live in houses that we did not build. And when Pastor Rob gave his testimony, I used to say that when I speak to the women, I say, you know what? I'm claiming this. Father, you blessed me with a house, debt-free. And I'm sure some of them are just looking like debt-free. Yeah, but when Pastor gave this testimony, I'm like, okay, look at that. That's us having a church debt-free without paying for it. So if God can do it for a church, then God can also give me a house debt-free.
Yes.
Amen. So we serve a God who is mighty. We serve a God who is powerful. And I always say it all depends on your expectation. You know, I was sharing with a sister. I said, yes, people say I have faith, but I don't see anything happening. But because we don't have expectation. You leave the house, you come to church on Sunday. You know, it's just business as usual. Let me go to church. No expectation. So there is no surprise that you come here, the message will go through, you have a word of knowledge, giving, and then you go back, nothing happens in your life. And you're thinking, why are other people blessed and I'm not? Why? Because you don't have any expectation. Amen? But I believe that we have to change that. And you know what? Expecting, because we serve a great God. We serve a God who desires, you know, who delight in blessing his children, who delight in seeing us blessed and happy, and whereby the world can see his glory through us, because that's what he really wants, that we reflect his glory out there. When people look at us, they can say, yes, I can see a difference. In their life, it's not just your spiritual life, but it's also even the physical blessing that he blesses you with. Amen. So let's pray. Father God, we just bless and exalt your holy name this morning. Father, we praise you because there is none like you. Father God, we honor you because you deserve all the honor. You deserve all the glory. You are mighty. You are powerful. You are glorious, Father. You are beyond description, oh God. And Father, a God like you, Lord, would choose us. A God like you, Father, Lord, would call us, Father, to serve you, Lord. It's such a privilege, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, we can be called your children. Children of God, that we can boldly come before your throne of grace and receive mercy in times of need. Father, we want to thank you, oh God, that you are always there with us. As you say, you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And we thank you that this morning, Father, your presence is here. Your presence has been with us from the beginning, Father. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will continue to take control. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us. Lord, I ask you that you will use me. I'm just a vessel, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak through me, oh God, that you will, Lord God, empower me, Father, that the words that are going to come out from my mouth, Lord God, will be filled with power, Father, to bring changes, Father, into life this morning. And I take authority in Jesus' name. I come, I silence every voice of the enemy right there in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, I thank you. Just have your way, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you've noticed, we've been going through the book of Judges. You know, last Sunday when Pastor Rob was about to preach, and I'm like, Lord, please, I hope it's not Gideon. Please, I hope it's not Gideon. Because that's the one that I chose. Because he told me, oh, you can choose any judge. And I'm like, okay, I've chosen Gideon. So when he was preaching on Deborah, I'm like, oh, fine. So the next one is Gideon, it's me. Yeah. And I was really moved by his preaching last week. You know, he spoke on Deborah. And to me, it was like a challenge. You know, yeah, he said, women are the weaker vessel. I agree with that because that's what the Bible says. But again, in these last days, what I've noticed is that God is using women. God is raising women, and God is raising young people as well for his kingdom. So I just want to challenge you sitting there. You are a woman and you are just, you know, in your comfort zone, doing nothing for the Lord. I want to challenge you. Rise up, because when you look at someone like Deborah, Deborah was living in a period where women's voice was silenced. Women were not heard. But you know, she rose up and she made a difference in her generation. And today our voices are heard. I mean, you can preach, you can talk about Jesus, you can do things for the kingdom of God, and no one will ask you to shut up. So there is no excuse. There is no excuse to you, ladies. We need to rise up and make a difference for our Lord's kingdom. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to look at Gideon. Let's read. Judges chapter 6, please. Open your Bibles in the book of Judges, chapter 6. We're going to read as from verse 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them in the hands of the Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianite, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the cave, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, Midianite would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. For they will come up with the livestock and their tent, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camel were without numbers. And they will enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianite. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. We'll stop there for now. We'll carry on later. Now, after reading this, you will see that the children of Israel were in great trouble. You know, they were going through a difficult situation. Just imagine that you have a house and you can't live in your house because you're hiding away from your enemies. They live in strongholds, they live in dens. And the worst is that when they will sow, you know, like working hard really, sowing and expecting some harvest from your labor, their enemies will come. Not just one enemy, the Midianite will come, Amalekite will come, and people from the east will come as well. So they had like 3 enemies coming and destroying their crops, everything. It was hard. The Bible says that they were greatly impoverished. You know, to be poor is one thing, but greatly impoverished, I mean, that's even worse. I know what poverty is all about because I've been there. But then I was poor. We were poor. But if we think about those who were greatly impoverished, like below us, it was bad. So which means if they destroy their crops and everything, I believe that they'll be starving. They would have no food to eat. And that's not a place where you want to find yourself. Where maybe a mother, you have your children, they are hungry, and you tell them, you know what? I'm sorry, but there is no food. I mean, we're hiding away from the enemy. Let's even thank God that our lives are spared. It's hard. So you are here this morning. You might find yourself in this situation, just like them. You're dealing with one thing or the other. Maybe some of you are dealing with a lot of things at the same time. They had 3 enemies. So you're dealing with that. Maybe your marriage, you're dealing with your children, you're dealing with something at your job. And you're just frustrated. You don't know what to do. You know, the Bible says that they cried out unto the Lord. And I love that. They're good at that. After they've gone through a hard period, and then they would think, okay, I think we should cry out unto the Lord now. You know, while things are good, there's no point crying out unto the Lord until when things are bad. And I would like to explain here, when we read from the beginning, it says that the Lord delivered them into the hands of their enemy. So it wasn't just their enemy prevailing against them. It was God who decided to deliver them into the hands of their enemies. And why that? Because God knew that by delivering them into the hands of their enemy, that's when they were going to cry out unto him. Amen? Sometimes it takes us going through sufferings. It takes us going through hardship in order to look for God. You know, when everything is going well in our life, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Father, good morning, thank you for the day, and you are gone. Off, you're gone. You know, you come back, Father, thank you, bless, protect me, and then that's it. You know, when things are bad and really, really tough, nobody tells you to pray. Lord, you are there praying, you're serious. Why? Because through that situation, God gets your attention. Amen? And that's what happened. And another question that I asked myself was, why did God allow their enemy to prevail over them? Because with God, there is always a reason for something. We're going to find out. So let's carry on with our reading. Verse 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the mighty night, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, thus said the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptian and out of the land of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. So we can see here that the reason why the Lord allowed this to happen in their life, it was because of disobedience. When you read the other judges and what happened, you know, the people would just cry out and God would just send a judge and who delivers them from the situation they are facing. But in the book of Judges, in the case of Gideon, this is the very first time they cried out and God sent a prophet. So God is explaining to them why they are in the present situation they find themselves. God said, I brought you out of bondage. You are in bondage right now. It's not because I want you to be in bondage. I brought you out of bondage. I brought you out of Egypt. And I brought you in the land where you find yourself. And he says, but I told you. When you read in the book of Deuteronomy, God told them that he did not want them to worship any other god except of him. And God gave them the consequences, what was going to happen if they decide to worship other gods. You know, that was a covenant that God made with them. He said, if you serve me, you're going to be blessed. I'm going to bless you this way, this way, this way. But if you disobey me by serving other gods, this is what is going to happen to you. And we know that God's word is true. If he says something, he does it. So they were living in disobedience. They were worshiping other gods. If you read that, you see they built an altar for Baal, and it was in Gideon's father's house. So they were worshiping another god, and God wasn't happy for that. And he allowed that to, you know, he allowed them to face what they were facing. So I don't know what you're facing today. But I just want to ask this question. Could it be because of disobedience? Could it be because you've been doing some stuff that God doesn't want you to do? Could it be because you've been living a lifestyle that God doesn't want you to live? Could it be because they built an idol? You know, today, we don't worship idol as such, like having an image in front of us. But some of us have idol that we worship. There are things in our life that has taken the place of God. Is that the reason why you are in the situation where you are? You know, most often it's easy, and as human being we like it, you know, blaming other people. When things happen, you know what? It's the enemy's fault. You know, the enemy is coming after me. But we don't want to sit down and reflect and see if it is our responsibility or for one way or the other we've contributed to the situation in which we find ourselves. I coach women. I encourage women. And I listen to them. You know, when they come to me with their problem, they explain. Most of the time, they are expecting you to just say, okay, let's pray. Let's pray that God is going to change your husband. Let's pray. Let's pray. But what I do is like, I'm like, okay, fine. This situation, you think it's your husband, but let's just look at it critically. Do you think you contributed to his behavior one way or the other? Amen. So, but our God is faithful. And I'm not trying to say that whatever you're going in today is as a result of something that you've done bad. No. There are some stuff that happened to us, despite, you know, us being faithful, despite us doing the things that God wants us to do. Why? Because Jesus said, in this world you would have tribulation. So we can't live a Christian life without tribulation. Whether we like it or not, at some point in our life, we will face trial and we will face tribulation. Amen. And you know, we serve a faithful God. We serve a God who is lovely. We serve a God who is compassionate. You know, they cried out to him and he heard them. And now he decided to use someone in order to serve, to save them from the situation in which they found themselves. So let's carry on to verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. I just hope I read it well. Why just ignore it? While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianite. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our father told us about, saying, Did the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianite." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianite. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is wicked in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianite as one man." Now the Lord heard the cry of his children and decided to, you know, intervene and bring peace and save them from their enemy. But as we know, God will always use people. When you are in trouble, sometimes God will use people to deliver you from that trouble. God uses people, the enemy uses people as well. And I heard someone said, when God wants to bless you, he'll bring somebody in your life. And when the enemy also wants to destroy you, he will bring someone in your life. So God decided to choose Gideon. Now, there are some things that when I went through this, I look at the life of Gideon. Gideon is not different from you and myself. So when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, I love the word that he said. He said, "The Lord be with you, mighty man of valor." Now, if we look at Gideon, there is nothing in him that shows that he is a mighty man. So I'm thinking, Gideon would think, "Me, mighty man? Are you real? I'm hiding from my enemy. I can't even go out there, you know. Just I'm in the wine press, just trying to stretch wheat because I don't want my enemy to see me. And you say I am mighty." That's because God does not see us the way we see ourselves. God is our creator. God, he created us. And he knows the plans that he has for our life. As he says in the book of Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil, to give you hope and an expected end. So God knows us. He knows what will happen tomorrow. He knows what he's going to do through us. So when he created us, he put an assignment in us. So, and the Bible also says that he knows the end from the beginning. So when he's looking at Gideon, he's looking at Gideon as the person who is going to save Israel from that situation. Because he knew definitely that he put the assignment in Gideon, and Gideon is going to carry that out. But Gideon was judging himself by his present situation. And that's what happened to most of us. The Lord even said to him, the angel said, the Lord is with you. You know, Gideon was a doubter. He said, if the Lord is with us, why has this thing happened to us? And you might be asking that question as well. If God is with me, why has this happened to me? So when you reflect, you see, okay, I haven't done anything to bring myself where I am. And but why has this happened to me? You know, the Lord is always there. He said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And we know that his word is true. But in the case of the children of Israel, it's their sin that separated them from God. They are the one who walked away from him, not him. He was always there. In Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, I'll paraphrase. God says, my hand is not too short to deliver you. My ears are not hard to hear you. But he said, it's your sin that has separated you from me. So in their case, God was there. He was always there. He has always been there. But it's their disobedience that has caused that barrier between them and God. And they thought he wasn't there. Amen. So Gideon doubted God. Gideon tried to give reason to God why he wasn't qualified to carry the assignment. You know, when we read in verse 15, he says this. He said, oh Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the wicked in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. You know, he was looking at his present circumstances. I'm not qualified to do this job. You know, my family is nothing in Israel. No one knows them. And when he come even to my household, I am like the least. So God, this is a mistake. Choose someone else. And we go through the Bible, we see people like Moses. When God assigned Moses, Moses said, Lord, you know what? I can't speak. I'm a sorter. When God chose Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm just a child. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background. I don't know what God has called you to do this morning. Maybe he has given you an assignment and you are thinking, am I able to do it? Why did you choose me, God? I'm not qualified for this. I don't have the education that is required. Lord, I can't go through this. I can't. But our God is all-knowing. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, I'll just paraphrase. The Bible says that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You might not be qualified in the eyes of men, but you know the person who qualifies you is God. Is God. And when he qualifies you, you know what? He equips you. He gives you the ability. And I was saying, if you have everything that required, then you don't need God. If you have everything that required, God doesn't need you. Because he wants to show his glory to the world. And when you have everything that he requires, they can't see God through you. They can't. That's why he chooses the weaker vessel. He chooses the foolish thing So when the people look at you being able to do that thing, they'll be like, what? What? I know her. Well, she used to be like this. She used to be like that. She had no abilities to do what she's doing right now. Why? Because the hand of God is upon your life. And you know, and Gideon missed it all because God said in verse 16, he said, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the mighty knight as one man. Amen. When the hand of God is with us, I always say, there is no limit to what we can do. Philippians 4:13, my daughter loved to quote that passage. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Now, I can do all things by myself, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Because when we depend on God, he will give us the strength. When we depend on God, he will give us the wisdom. When we depend on God, he will give us the understanding. When we depend on God, he will give us everything that we need in order to carry out the assignment that he gives us. It might be a position at work you're thinking, oh no, I can't go for that position. And God is saying, take it. You're like, no, I can't. That's too difficult. I can't. But he's saying, take it. I will be with you. I will help you. I give my example. It's funny. You know, when I look at myself standing here and I look years back, I'm like, God, you are amazing. If someone told me I would stand in front of a crowd, I preach, I'm like, that's impossible. My sister is there. She knows me. While we were growing, I was that kind of person. I just wanted to stay on my own. I didn't like people. I didn't like people's company. It was just me. No talking to people. I can stay even 2 weeks indoors. If I don't need to go out, I will stay like that. I don't need anyone to come around me to talk. I hated even to talk to people. But today when I look at myself, I'm always talking. And sometimes you're like, Ella, shut up. Ella, shut up. You know, when it comes to the things of the Lord, I can talk and talk and talk. And when I look at it, I'm like, is that me? But that's just me because he enabled me. He has called me to do something. And he enabled me to be able to do what he has called me to do. Amen. Amen. So whatever God has called you to do, just trust him. Amen. Trust him. And he will enable you. Now, would you be afraid? Yes. Yes. You will be afraid. There are times, you know, fear comes in. It's not a bad thing to be afraid. Someone once said, fear is like false evidence appearing real. It's an acronym for that. It's just false evidence that the enemy will bring before you and make you think, oh, this is hard. I can't do it. And fear is just an emotion. So it's normal to be afraid. But the bad thing is not acting upon fear. Gideon was afraid. When the Lord asked him, if you read further, the Lord asked him to go and destroy the altar of Baal that was in his father's house. You know what? He went at nighttime. Why? Because he was afraid to go during the day. He didn't know what was going to happen. Maybe the people were going to stone him or whatever. He went at nighttime. And even if you read in chapter 7, when the Lord told him, go and fight your enemy, go. And the Lord even said, if you are afraid, then take your servant, go in their camp at nighttime, and you will hear what they will say. Why? Because even the Lord identified fear in Gideon. So, you know, when someone said to you, oh, you don't have to be afraid, fear is not from God. Sometimes I think God allowed that fear so we can completely depend and rely on him. So Gideon had to go in the camp of his enemy at nighttime with the servant. And when he heard what they said, he said, okay, yes, actually, God has given them into my hand. Would you doubt? Yes. Sometimes we doubt. And sometimes it would happen that you find yourself in a situation and God said, I'm bringing you out of it. And you sit and think, how? How? Doubt will come in. We're just human. I remember of this guy who brought his son to Jesus. And he said he wanted Jesus to heal his son. And Jesus said, do you believe? You know, he said, yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. But help my unbelief. I believe you can heal him. You know what? I believe you can do it, Lord. But deep inside me, when I look at the situation, I'm thinking, is it possible? Why? Because he has been through that situation probably for a long time. And he's just thinking, not that he's not believing that, but there is still some unbelief in him. So it's normal to doubt God. But then still, when we are doubting him, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So it's important, you know, to put more of the word in us that will help take away the doubt. Amen? Now, when we go to chapter 7, we're not going to read. It just tells us how God delivered the children of Israel, how he used Gideon to give them the victory. In Isaiah 55, I think verse 8, God says this. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your way my ways. When we look at the way that God delivered the children of Israel, you think, whoa, that is God. God doesn't like to do things in the way that you liken him to a man. You know, Gideon gathered 32,000 soldiers, and he knew he was going to use 32,000 soldiers to fight his enemy. And to be honest, 32,000 wasn't even enough because his enemies were a lot. There was a multitude of them. He has 32,000 men, and God said, those men are too many. And you think, 32,000 too many? You know, my enemies, they have like, I don't know, 400 times more than what I have. And you're telling me that they are too many. God says they are too many. You need to reduce them. So they were reduced to 300 men. So God used 300 men to give Gideon, give the children of Israel the victory. Now that's the God that we serve. He works in mysterious ways. So there will be time that God will ask us to do something that when we look at, it might really seem stupid. In a situation that you're going through, God might ask you, just give you instruction to carry out, and you think, no way. You know, by doing this, I don't really think this can get me out of the situation in which I find myself. But the key is obedience. Gideon obeyed. God said 300 men. And I love Gideon here because you know what? He was doubtful. He was fearful. But when he came to this part, he didn't argue God. For once God said, reduce those men. And he did. He obeyed and he did it. And I just believe that at this point, he has learned to trust in God. He has learned that if I'm going to have the victory, then I have to be obedient. If I'm going to save these people, then I have to listen to God. I have to cooperate with God. I have to carry out the exact instruction that he gives me. And he did that. And the Bible says that you know how the one, God just make their enemy, you know, start fighting against each other. That's God. They didn't even need to fight. They didn't need to fight. The enemy fought against each other. And God gave them the victory. Amen? Our God is a faithful God. So I just want to encourage you this afternoon to tell you that whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever the challenge is, God is able. He said, I'm able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ever ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Now, whatever instruction that he gives you, obey him. Obey him. It might not be reasonable, but obey him. Sometimes you can't understand God. You just do what he asks you to do. And believe me, if you do it, at the end of the day, you will have the victory. At the end of the day, you will get out of that situation with shouts of joy and acclamation. Amen?
Amen.
Can we pray? Father God, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are God that never changes. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Father, we thank you that the God who gave Gideon the victory, you are the same God today. Father, I thank you because, Lord God, you know each and every one of us here. Father, you know the things that we have been dealing with. Father, you know the challenges and the tribulation that we've been facing. Lord God, we are calling upon you, Father, that you will step into the situation, Father. We are asking you, oh God, that you step in. And Lord, we are asking you that you help us as well, Father, that whatever instruction that you give us, Lord, let us carry it out. Because we know that by doing that, we will have the victory. Lord, I'm also praying, Father, for us here. There are some of us, Lord, that you've called us, Father, to do things for your kingdom. Lord God, that you've instructed us, Father, to step out of our comfort zone. And Father, we've been thinking, oh, I can't do it. Lord, we're full of fear or maybe doubt. Lord, I'm asking you, oh God, that you give us that confidence, Lord, knowing that we're not by ourselves. Father, Lord, that when you call us, Father, you equip us. And Lord God, that when you are with us, Father, everything is possible, Lord. We just thank you, Father God. Lord, I just want to pray, Father, even for the whole church itself, Lord, in this new, Father, Lord God, adventure that you've called us, Father, with you, Lord, in a new church, a new building, Father. Lord, we ask you that you will have your way. Lord, that you will equip each and every one of us, Father, to work together, Lord God, in order, Father, Lord God, to see your glory, Father, in that church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we want to thank you also for the offerings and the tithe that have been paid this morning. Lord, we ask you to bless them. And Lord, you said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom, Father. We pray that you bless us as we've given. And Lord, we pray that this money will be used, Father, to the furtherance of your kingdom. We thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty and powerful name, we pray. Amen.